You're listening to Sweet Life, the show that helps you find and walk your own special path. I'm Brooke Peterson. The Foothill Workforce Investment Board is a job resource center located in Pasadena, right up the street. I can walk there. They specialize in services for the future employee, offering a job search resource lab, workshops and seminars, layoff recovery assistance, veteran services, youth services, and more, believe it or not. Joining me now is Jumana Barakat. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, you're doing it fine.
Okay. Thank you. From the Foothill Workforce Investment Board. When she last visited us, we discussed preparing for the job hunt, which was very interesting and enlightening. Today, we're going to take the next step and really break down the resume. It's all I can do not to go like, if you're like me, it takes every bit of self-control to not roll your eyes and groan just a little bit when you hear the word resume. Maybe it's just me. So let's get over that. We're going to tackle this demon. The first step, and this is just a guess, is probably to not think of it as a demon, right?
No, it's not a demon. You have to think of it as this product, like your previous guest was talking, that is going to represent who you are and move you to the next step. I'm just, you know, it was very interesting what the CEO of InFocus said. InFocus said earlier that the packaging and the products have to be more appealing and have to catch our eyes. And there's more going into making the product appealing to the customer. So job seekers have to look at this resume as this is a product that I'm creating that I'm gonna put it out there, and it has to sell to employers.
What a great connection! Yeah.
What is so interesting about that is that we are at a point where resumes, they're not about what I want to put on there. It's what about the employers want to see on your resume. So we see people make the very common mistake. They go out, spend money or spend hours and hours tirelessly putting on together a resume that they've been sending out there. And then 50, 60, 70 applications later, nothing is coming back on this, you know, major return, no return on their investment.
Right.
So they come to us and then we start talking about how bad the economy is and blaming it all on everybody out there. And a lot of times it is the most qualified people for the perfect position who is not getting a response. And the trick is so simple. You have to approach preparing your resume from what the employer want to see on your resume.
But how do you know what they want to see?
This is what you know. They post a job online. They put in requirements. They put on duties. They look on level of education, years of experience, equipment, machinery, programming. They give you everything they want to know in this job description. They post anywhere, whether online and paper, send it directly to you. I don't know how, you know, depending on how the job seeker is getting the positions. So once you read this requirement, once you read, let's say, an employer seeking a management analyst in the field of industrial engineering, and they give you a list. Requirements, they give you points, they give you list of duties, they give you list of levels of education, certification. Okay. So when you want to send the resume that you prepared that says all of these things, but I have to kind of dig through your language and go probably to a second page to find out and make the relationship, these are the resumes that are being passed on.
So it sounds like are you suggesting that for our resume, A, it needs to be customized for each individual job, it sounds like.
And yes, I am saying that.
Okay.
And people, I know the reaction will be like, who has the time to write a resume for every position you are applying for? You should have the time. Your resume that you prepare, you should deal with it or use it as your master product from which every time you're approaching a particular position, this product have to be so flexible and so loosened that you can change it around and apply for this next job.
Yeah.
So what I am suggesting is that read the requirements, cross-reference it with what's on your resume, and make the things that matter to the employer be upfront.
Now, you were talking about the employer having to dig, because I absolutely agree that they give you all the secrets and the hints in the job description. They lay it out what they want and what they're looking for. So, but it sounds like just adding those keywords or focusing on those responsibilities might not be enough anymore, and that you really just have to put it out there almost like in a bullet point fashion, like verbatim almost. So does it almost look like it could be kind of pandering?
I don't want to say verbatim because there's a lot of JB said out there.
A lot of what?
That what I said.
Okay. Oh, right. Okay.
In other words, the honest to God answer is yes.
Okay.
And let me tell you why. Yes. Okay. Because somebody might read the job description and the requirement for the employer and say, oh, I've done all of that. It's all on my resume. And, you know, any hiring manager would know by just glancing at my resume. In many cases, these resumes are being pre-screened by HR personnel. Okay. And I'm not putting down HR personnel.
Of course not, yeah.
What we do is when we look at what HR is looking at, they only know about the job 90% of the time is what's on this job description. So when they're cross-referencing what this department put out to hire for on a resume, their cross-reference is this particular job description that they posted online.
Mm-hmm.
So your resume might hint that you've done all of that. But if I am not familiar with the lingo and the details, especially with big corporations, I mean, the HR department, it's impossible for them to know all the little details and technicalities of every particular position. Because as you and I know, Brooke, that there is the job description and there's really what happens in there.
Okay? Right, sure, yeah.
that is the reality. Uh-huh. We all know also, you know, when we hire somebody, the resume might meet the qualification on the resume, but, or the job application, but, you know, the connection has to be right there. I want to be able to pick up this resume and in less than 30 seconds, scan through it, see exactly what I'm looking for that I've asked for in a job description. And if you want to add other stuff, you know, later on another page of your resume, you can, but have the things that I am looking for jump out at me so I can see it right away.
Would you even suggest putting them in bold, literally?
We cannot suggest one format for one resume. Keywords are essential. And a lot of people, the most important keyword is the title of the position that people are applying for. We see that how interchangeable a lot of positions are nowadays, and what we used to call a certain duty 10 years ago, we don't use the same word. Even last year, we have positions now like reputation management analysts. It's like, okay, now we have this new position out there. So you have to look more into the title. But when you are preparing your resume, the first keyword that needs to be there is tell them that this is exactly what I'm applying for.
Mm-hmm.
Keywords are very important, and they're usually throughout the job requirements and the duties and the accomplishments required. Another key thing on a resume are accomplishments and achievements. And we're talking about accomplishments and achievements that you can quantify.
Okay. This is something I actually do have a question for you about, because the quantifying things. Okay. What if you don't have a job that has quantifiable achievements, or what if you don't have that information, the stats to do the math to have that number?
Can I take you one step back and let's talk what an accomplishment is?
Okay.
When people are sitting down and, you know, being asked or on paper, they want to put any of their accomplishment. An accomplishment can be, you know, broken down to any product, any project, any proposal, anything that you've worked on that took particular action, okay, and there's a result. There's no such thing as quantifiable. It's not quantifiable. Sometimes we don't know the numbers, but I know I go into my job every day. I have to work on this specific grant by the end of the day, I have to take the following actions. And by the end of a reporting period, I'm, you know, I should be have enrolled 30 people, 40 people, 50 people. So what did I do during that process to make this process more efficient or, you know, works better for a company? If you can't quantify it, if you do not have that information, but you still know that you have contributed to making a process better, to making running a particular office or machine or program more efficiently, you still need to put it in there. Because the employers are going to look at this resume and say, okay, this is great. I mean, who's going to put anything bad about themselves on their resume?
Right.
You
right.
know, it's
and
a bragging.
I can say I cut office expenses, but if I don't have a hard number by $6,000 a year or whatever.
That's okay. I would still put it on there.
Okay.
If there is somebody who can vouch for it at some point when you're being asked for references, mm-hmm. when you're being asked, can we discuss your qualifications with your previous management? If somebody can say, yes, Brooke did a great job while she was managing the office, our inventory really, you know, was cut by blah, blah, our expenses, then somebody else can put a number on it. But if it's something that you know that you've done and impacted your employer in one way or the other, that is something really important. Because the employer is going to look at it and say, come on down and do this exact thing. You know, do
yeah.
it here. Let's see if it works for us.
Yeah, put up or shut up
yes.
kind of thing.
Yes.
Now, okay, so say, for instance, I mean, with office managing and even sales, of course, is all about numbers. And office managing, lots of numbers to be had, I suppose. But it sounds like even with those jobs, you have to, over the years, when you're not looking for a job, you have to be keeping pretty good track of yourself and like almost like taking notes and, you know, for the day when you have to really list these achievements.
My biggest advice to anybody who've lost their employment, laid off or terminated or due to closure or whatever it is, the separation reason for an employer, and you go in and you get a job again, rest assured, some point, all this is going to happen again. None of us is secure in a job for a lifetime anymore. I mean, my father worked for the same company, I don't know, like 30-some years.
Not anymore,
so,
yeah.
Not anymore, not because we are bad and we're not doing a good job. It's just because the dynamics of products, the way we do business, outsourcing, everything is changing so fast and mm-hmm. so rapid that we are all trying to keep up with it.
Mm-hmm.
My advice is that you have to stay on top of things. Don't get too comfortable. Be very ethical to who you're working for. Give it your 100%, but stay on the lookout. Understand that how you need to keep your skills up to date. Understand that you continuously have to learn. You continuously have to be on top of your game.
Mm-hmm.
In the event you were let go again, so you're not going back. And we face that at our center day in, day out. People who've had long tenures in jobs and they were in management position, now they're coming out. And some of them, it's surprising to understand that even the basic of, you know, computer software, you're like, serious? Well, yeah. We used in-house and we've been...
Well, it's nice to hear. I mean, it's great just to have somebody say it. Like, don't get comfortable. Always stay on your toes mm-hmm. and be prepared along the way, even when you think you're going to be there for a while.
Yeah.
We are talking with Jumana Barakat. We'll be right back. We're going to talk some more about the resume. This is great stuff, folks. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Sweet Life. I am Brooke Peterson, and we are sitting here today breaking down the resume with Jumana Barakat of the Foothill Workforce Investment Board. She's giving us some great tips, great advice, and we're just going to keep on going. So, Jumana, JB, is that right? Okay. Let's talk about backing up just a little bit and getting basic. What I think most people think they know. But let's just say it, just in case. What should they and should they not include on the resume?
Ooh, definitely every resume have to have a heading. That's your contact information. Your name, your address, a way for this employer to contact you.
Sure.
A lot of people are being very careful with putting their addresses on there, which is totally understandable.
That's true. I don't do my address. I just do Pasadena, California.
That's it. Okay. Do your city and state contact information. The best way to contact you, if you want them to contact you via email or putting a cell phone number over there or a phone number, it has to be very clear. One thing about I want to bring to people's attention about email, your email address should be a professionally sounding email,
mm-hmm.
not hot tamales.
Do people still make that mistake?
Yes, they do. They do. They do. And some people, you know, think it's an icebreaker or, you know, something. It is not.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's not be very cute about how we do that. Another thing, if you choose to put an objective on your resume, be direct. Like we said, how important is the job title to the keywords. Let your objective be seeking a position as a management analyst in an accounting firm. Don't put seeking a position where my abilities can be used to the best. And people write this whole personal statement. People start their resumes with professional paragraphs that say organized, team player, leadership, great communication skill, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I mean, we look at these resumes, and I do go through hundreds of resumes every week. And I'm like, who's going to pick up a resume and say, listen, I'm a cheat, I'm a liar, I just want a job that pays me that much. But everybody is team player, professional, great communicator. This the cliche. Leave the cliches out of your resume.
So which words? Okay, team player, no team players?
No, I mean, if it is required in the accomplishment, you cannot say, I'm a great team player.
Uh-huh.
Finish the sentence for me.
How do you quantify that? How do you prove it?
Not quantify. Let's say you worked for Lancer Radio Station. As an announcer for Radio Lancer Stations, I had to work with a team of 15 people organizing blah, blah, blah. Tell me.
Okay.
Tell me a story. And you have to tell it to me in one line.
Okay.
Okay? Instead of just throwing out there, I'm a great organizer.
Uh-huh.
Put organized, blah, blah, blah. What did you organize? Because all these creates this interest for the employer, and these becomes your key conversation points in an interview.
It also sounds like it might paint a picture.
It will paint a picture about you. It's a hard document to prepare.
It is.
That's why when people say, give me 15 minutes, I'll come back, I'll do my resume and give it to you. I'm like, oh, wow, you can do this that quickly. You know, I'm thinking, wow, this person must have a master resume, their profile ready, their accomplishment. Everything is ready for them on hand that they can create this wonderful product in such a short time. Another thing that should be on your resume should be, again, a little bit of your background summary that relates to the position that you are applying for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You might have extensive background, changed careers a lot, have wonderful positions. I want to know about your background that adds to this particular position I'm applying for.
That's a good point, actually. So regarding that specifically, exactly, what if you have a very colorful background, mm-hmm. lots of different positions or different industries, and resumes traditionally have been chronological,
mm-hmm.
you know? So what happens if you have those gaps of time now that don't apply to the specific job?
I am a big fan of the non-traditional resumes, mm-hmm. the chronological resumes. Depends on the employer. Some employers like to see it, but you don't know who they are. Some employers, you know, don't care as long as I see your qualification and what is it you have to offer me. So go with the bullet points.
Mm-hmm.
Go with the bullet points. Read what they want. Put it in a bullet point. But still, another important segment on your resume is your work history.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
A lot of people confuse. If I have a professional resume, functional resume, how are they going to know where I worked? They have to know because you have to include a work history section
mm-hmm.
where you name the companies that you have worked, your duration of employment, and your titles. So back to your gaps. There's no way you can hide your gaps.
Mm-hmm.
There's absolutely no way unless you've done volunteer work. This is why I encourage people who are not employed, find something to do that keeps you in the same, you know, mode, and, you know, try to stay around your industry some way or form. I was separated from the labor market by choice and then not by choice for 3 years. So to re-enter, it was difficult. But during that time, I knew I had to keep busy doing what I'm doing. Yeah. So you do a little bit probably consulting on the side, or just anything that contributes to your knowledge and your skills and to stay, you know, informed. What shouldn't be on your resume? Another two things that should be on your resume. Again, I cannot emphasize enough the experience. You have to put your work history. But once you put it down there, if you're going with the bullet format, you don't have to expand under each one. And education is very, very important, and certification, especially if the position is looking for that. People say, what about graduation years? They're going to figure out how old I am. Leave them out. Simple answer. Leave them out.
So those are not mandatory anymore. No. I feel like they used to be. They used to be.
Yeah. Well, right now, I mean, the employers are as educated as we like them to be because they know. They know out there, there are the people from new graduates to the senior people who are still available to go back to work. They know somebody is not telling everything. That's why a resume is not a document to get you a job. A resume is a document to get you to an interview.
Yes, that's it. Absolutely.
Because if they believed everything on your resume, there would
they
not,
just hire you.
They just hire you. Leave your references out of your resume. You should have your references ready. You should have three professional references ready at any time unless they ask for them. Do not add attachments to your resume. Do not attach letters of recommendations. Don't. Because I'm asking you right now for your resume. Even or salary requirements or unless I ask for it, please do not provide it for me. Even the cover letter. If I ask, please forward a cover letter and your resume, then send the cover letter. If I am not asking for a cover letter, don't send me a cover letter.
Oh, wow. Fantastic.
How many employers read the cover letters? I don't want the employers to hate me out there, but not many. Unless they are the employers who asked for it.
Now, is that also a change in the past couple years?
That's been the norm, actually, but it hasn't been there. Because I know from myself and other, you know, if I get a resume with a cover letter, you know, I usually flip to the resume.
Really? You don't even scan it?
No.
What?
No.
I've been sweating bullets for...
Don't sweat bullets. Let me tell you when
I'm
the cover
so
letter... Okay. A lot of application are happening online. That means you either email your resume or you post it. When you post your resume, there is no room for a cover letter. Okay. When you email a resume, if I'm asking for your resume via email, then use the email, you know, write few lines, if you wish, in your email and send your resume. But do not send me, you know, an email with multiple attachments. Another great suggestion, if you want to attach your resume, by all means, attach your resume, but also include it in the body of the
email. Some people get nervous about attachments, don't they?
It's not only they get nervous, because if you think you are perfect for this job and you want me to look at it right when I open my email,
one less step, one less click.
And nice. You'd be surprised what this one extra click does.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I saw in your in the guide that the Foothill Workforce Investment Board provides that each resume gets like a 10-second glance, and you're supposed to have immediate impact.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean? What do you do with an immediate impact?
Immediate impact is that if I am looking for XYZ, I'm going to pick up this resume, and I'm like, whoa, that's it. It's staring at me.
Okay, so
this
it's not like a visual
is.
Artistic kind of format thing. It's more the keywords.
It's the keywords, and... Don't get artistics with your resumes, please. Do not include your pictures unless it's a resume for a modeling job that
right.
I require a headshot. Smart comments, jokes, some people, you know, pink paper. You will be even the expensive double bonded paper. That is if you're applying with paper format.
Yeah.
All we care about is that it's readable. It's on white paper. It can be scanned. I can read it. The font is comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Don't use a small font to squish everything on one page.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's so much to cover.
I know.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we have to, I guess, back away now. We'll have to come back to this. This might be a two-parter. I don't know, because there's so much to talk about.
I'll come back. That's this.
Well, okay. Well, I'm going to hold you to it then. So thank you for joining us today, Ms. Barakat. For more information about the Foothill Workforce Investment Board, go to their website, www.fwibworks.org. It is full of fantastic information. And if you're local, make an appointment. Go talk to them in person for yourself and bring your resume and they can knock it out. So, moving on, before we leave, we are taking donations to Pasadena City College's Lancer Radio. We are suddenly finding itself independently funded. Please call Sarah Barker at 626-585-3129. That's 626-585-3129. I'm Brooke Peterson. Meet me back here next week. In the meantime, make it sweet.